creation is never at a point where it can say that it is totally independent. You get over one problem and there is a second problem, and you overcome a second problem and there is the third problem. So there is no point where you can say that you are problem free. The Quran Sharif starts off with Surah Fatiha, where you extol the praises of Allah Ta'ala, understand His greatness, His majesty, and the fact that all humanity depend on Him entirely. So therefore we start off with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So He is the Rabb, and when you say Rabb, what you mean is the one that cherishes and nourishes. From the beginning right till the end, He takes care. Like you need Him at the beginning, you need Him at the end. Like you need Him in your infancy, you need Him in your old age. And the surah will then end with begging Allah Ta'ala for guidance, straight path that will lead you right to Jannah. So the first part of the surah is you extol the praise of Allah Ta'ala, acknowledge what He is. You know who you're talking to, you know who you're relating to. He is the Rabb, and He takes care of the entire universe. So this surah will teach you tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala. Not just trust, total reliance in Allah Ta'ala. Man goes through different trials and he thinks to himself that I'm over with this, then I'm over. Not understanding that there's going to be another trial afterwards. So the only way that he can get off this trial is to put your mind and your reliance on one who is supreme control. Not just control, but His control is supreme. His control is not conditional to time, place, person, circumstance. And He Himself is not temporal, but He is eternal. There's no beginning and no end. Not conditional to time, place, circumstance or person. But He's absolute, complete control. So the problems start off at this point, where we feel that, no, if there's a problem here, I can hop onto this thing here. If there's a problem here, I can hop on here. So this is where the problem starts off. And what Allah Pak wants, you hold on to Me. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا. So this is repeated in Quran Sharif, that you trust in Him, put your whole heart in Him. يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah Pak loves those who trust Him. I am your Rabb, so trust Me. So that's the one side. The other side is, you also say that He is Maliki Yawmi Deen. If He is the Rabb, He is the Cherisher, He takes care of you, He is kind towards you, then He is also supreme control in the hereafter. This world He is in control complete, and in the next world, next realm also He is in total control. And the next life starts from death. So from that point onwards, He is in control, and in this life also He is in total control. Now each one needs to inspect himself, that how is his heart attached? His heart is attached to what? Generally, we find a wealthy person and we feel more secure, we feel more attached. And a poor person is one of those things now. So how do you attach yourself? How do you link yourself? Our Buzurgan Adeen, one of the founders of Darul Uloom Deoband, was Haji Abid Hussain. One was Munir Sahib, one was Haji Abid Hussain. One of them both saintly people, great people, founded the madrasa in Darul Deoband. So there was a student waiting at his office, and there was some very senior person, very senior, very influential person, a government man, very senior. Now our hearts will tell us, senior person, wealthy, he's got influence, he's got affluence, then we deal with him differently. So Mu'ah came out of the office, he saw the person, greeted him, 1-2 minute discussion, and the whole thing ended, and he allowed him carry on, showed him the respect, desired amount of respect, and he carried on. Now it's a student, so the student felt that perhaps Mawlana is a little bit busy, so I may come at some other time and see him. So he tried to excuse himself, so Mawlana said, no, see. This was a worldly class person, got the wealth, he's got the riches, he's got everything. So our attachment to him is like the world. World, we use it and we dispose. We use it and we dispose. Tissue, we wipe our hands and we don't store that thing. We don't hold it with significance and respect. We use it, where you need to use it, we use it and we leave it. But aap aur hum, hamara taluk to marne jeene ka hai. Our attachment with you, poor, you're downtrodden, you've got no social standing. Our relationship with you is life and death. We can't part with you. So he takes him into the office. No, I don't need all this. No, you come here. You are the mehman of the beast person. He is one of those persons. You are the mehman. And I need to show you the greatest level of respect. So our hearts generally move with wealth. Man is influential, affluence, that we treat him differently. And then at the end, affluence and influence comes and whips you. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Understand that your Rabb is at the watchtower, he's watching what's going on. All the cinema, the dramas that are going, he's watching what's going on. Your attachment, your love, your association, your respect, so all that he's watched. Nothing escapes him. He sees everything, and he sees it, and he sees it perfectly. So that's why we say, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. He's the one and only. So when you say he is the one and only, and you also say that because he is absolute, he is not conditional to any circumstance, situation, person. He is not conditional. He is eternal, right? But the rest of the creation, they are like the reflection of the absolute reality. He is the absolute reality, and the rest of the creation is just a reflection. He wills it and it switches on. He wills it in a moment it switches off. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest of it is just a reality, is just a reflection. He is the only real and the greatest reality. He's real and he's the greatest reality, and everything else is just a reflection. So the sensible thing is to attach your heart to the one that is absolutely real. He is not subject and not dependent on anything, circumstance, persons, etc. And his control is supreme. So when his control is supreme, he transcends time, place, person, everything he transcends. So the most sensible thing is to hold on to him. Others, we will show them the level of respect that is required, and we carry on. But now those that are attached to us because of deen, then that level of respect is totally different. How we look at them, how we see them, how we interact with them, how we socialize with them, and all that becomes visible with time. Someone is imparting deen or someone is learning deen, what is the level of attachment? And then it's a man of wealth or some type of social standing, what is the type of attachment to that person? So this Allah Ta'ala sees it, he watches it. And we need to introspect all the time, is our relationship right or not? Or have we moved or not? So that's why there is the need of introspecting hisab, making istighfar. Labid ibn al-Asim is a Jewish ally, Halif of the Yahud. Whether he's a Yahud or he's an ally, but he's working in cahoots. So they are one camp, and when it's one camp, they're all working, moving in one direction. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was affected with jadu. So all that the jadu had done to him was, sometimes something of a worldly nature he forgets. Like he rested or he didn't rest. Nothing to do with deen, but something like a worldly nature he would forget. So this carried on for approximately 6 months, until one day two angels, two malaika, one sat on the head side and one on the leg side, and one is asking the other what has happened to the person. So the other is saying that he is affected, matbubun. Matbub comes from tib, right? And this is minal azdad. Some Arabic words have got dual meaning, opposite meanings, right? Tib can also mean cure and can also mean sickness. Like zan, inna zanna la yughni min al-haqqi shi'a, can also refer to doubt, but can also refer to yaqeen. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ, what do you say? Doubting. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So tib has got that dual meaning, dual and opposite meanings. Like I said, zan has got opposite and dual meanings. So the one is asking the other, and who has done this jadu or this black magic, who has practiced it? So the other one is saying, Labid ibn al-Asim. He's practiced it with what? What has he practiced it? He's practiced it, says, with a comb and the teeth of the comb and a thread that is threaded with 11 knots, and needles are pierced into this. So it's a thread with 11 knots and needles are pierced into it, right? And also a comb and some of the teeth of the comb. Perhaps it was someone working in the house of Rasulullah person, a young child or something, and someone asked for it. So the child saw it was a comb, perhaps it wasn't being used. He pulled it and gave it away. Innocently he gave it, and so this was used to practice the jadu. So anyway, he asked where's the location. So location is Bi'r Za'wan or Zarwan. At a certain place, go there, and you'll find it buried inside. And over it is a rock, so you'll find it enclosed in the sheath of a palm. Palm sheath is enclosed, right at the bed of the well. It's resting there, and it's covered with a rock. So someone was sent, that thing was pulled out exactly as it was shown, that needle or that comb or the teeth, the cord or the thread with the knots, all that were found. And these two surahs were recited, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq and Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, and as each ayat was read, and the knots opened out. With each ayat, the knots opened out, until when the 11th knot opened out, then Rasulullah felt totally relieved. But Aisha radiallahu anha seen this whole thing, and she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why don't you expose the person? So Rasulullah sallallahu replied, Amma Allah faqad shafani, Allah Ta'ala has cured me. وَلَا أُثِيرُ عَلَى النَّاسِ شَرًا. It's not my way to incite problems. If I talk about this, then someone will come to my defense, and when they come to my defense, they will hurt him, or someone may kill him. One of the two may happen. لَا أُثِيرُ عَلَى النَّاسِ شَرًا. Allah has cured me of this. Whatever happened, happened for this duration, 6 months. But now it's over, and it's not my way to incite problems. So anyway, this was ended, and we come to the surah, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq and Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, and the importance of the surah. Izzuddin, Shaykh Izzuddin Abdul Salah, Ibn Abdul Salam, he says that problems are of two types, right? One is the cause and one is the problem. So there's two things. One is the cause and one is the problem, right? Like, one is not observing the traffic regulations, so that is a problem, right? And then because of him not observing the regulations, he met up in a critical accident. So he met up in an accident, that was the disaster, that was the problem. And what was the cause? He didn't observe the traffic signs. So he didn't observe this, and this was the result. So in these two surahs, you ask Allah Ta'ala's protection from both. From the cause and the problem. One is the cause, and the cause that brings about the disaster, you ask Allah Ta'ala's protection against both. And this is also evident in the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he asks and he begs Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Azab al-Qabr wa Azab al-Nar wa Fitnat al-Mahya wal-Mamat, right? So one is the cause and one is the actual problem, right? The cause is now the trials of life and death, right? Trials of life. So there can be a lot of trials. Sometimes it's domestic, sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's business, sometimes it's transactions and dealings. So there can be a whole host of problems, right? So this is one. And one is the disaster it comes with afterwards, right? The disaster can come in the qabr, or it can come in the hereafter. One of the two, the disaster can come. So it's a disaster, and what the disaster brings. One is the cause, and one is the disaster. The problem, or call it the cause, and what it does afterwards. It's a cause, but what this thing results in, right? So we need to understand that in all our life, there will be some things that will be causes, and something that will turn out into a disaster. Right? It's a cause, and that cause ends up in a disaster. Right? Like a person got involved in drugs, for example, right? Then he goes and traces himself, all right, where this thing started off from. So he sees that, well, it was the wrong type of association. I got mixed up with the wrong type of association, and this thing eventually led up to this disaster. But it started off at this point. It started from here. So this was the cause. I felt it was just innocent association and socializing. But this socializing and this innocent, so-called innocent association, this resulted in this type of a disaster that now I'm an addict, right? Or for example, he was a little bit free with his eyes. He wasn't careful about the use of his eyes. He was not careful with the use of his eyes, then he got involved in some type of womanizing. Why? It started from here, that he didn't take care of his eyes. He didn't take care of his eyes, now he got involved. Now he got 7-8 children, and the whole marriage is in a shambles, it's on the rocks. Now he doesn't know where this thing started off from. This is the point. This was the cause, and now you are living in this type of a predicament now. So both, you're asking Allah Ta'ala's protection from both. Not just one thing, but both. The cause and the disaster. The cause and the problem that you sit with thereafter. Right? It's my observation. Allah Pak knows best. My observation that nearly all people that have smartphones, right? They must be involved in some problem. Sometimes it's domestic. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's business. But you can't show me, you can hardly show me a person who's got a smartphone, but he's got no problems after that. So he'll have something domestic, something within the family, something within the friends, something within his immediate people. Sometimes it's with people general, right? But it doesn't go. You can hardly show me. I don't say they can't be at all. You can hardly show a person who has a phone but absolutely no problems. So now there must be something in this cause that results in a disaster. So this is the cause, and this is the disaster. This is the cause, and this is the disaster. And man needs to be man enough that I look into the cause and I look into the disaster. I'm just looking into the disaster, see, you know, where this thing came from. I don't need this in my life. You know, I didn't deserve this. So you'll see this. See, when the thing comes, and say, I don't deserve this. It's not my fault. This thing is just landing on my lap. Right? But now, very seldom do we take out the time to find out or what was the cause. There was something that led up to this. So I'm not looking at what led up to this. I'm looking at the problem itself. So it's one-sided, selective. Right? So the right thing a man requires to check on both. That what was the cause? And this cause led up to this. Right? Like you'll find that most children that smoke, etc., and if you trace it, then their parents or the immediate families were in smoking. Right? They did this and the children got involved. Somehow or the other, they got involved, but it started off at this point. So if the father was fond of music or something, then the child gets also involved. By the same token, now we get involved in all these things, in these gadgets, then that has an effect on the child. So the child's mind is innocent. He feels, my Abba and my father, he's very innocent, he can't do a wrong. What he's doing is right. So if he's looking at this, so perhaps he's looking at a movie, he's looking at something, so that means looking at movies, etc., is permissible, because if it was impermissible, my father wouldn't have looked at it. He's looking at it, so that means it's permissible, it's nice to look at it. And this thing then, there's a cause, then there's a disaster afterwards. Now there's a problem, you don't know how to control yourself. Even if you're not looking at haram, now the disaster comes like this, that you look up at information, right? And that information creates a confusion within your mind, doubts within your mind, suspicions in your mind, right? So these suspicions and these doubts, they don't die straight away. That is why, look at the dua, أَوْزُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ نَفْسِي مِنْ شَرِّ شَيْطَانِي وَشَرَكِي. Allah Ta'ala, I also ask refuge from the evil of myself. Now, when you say evil of yourself, what it means? That because of some reason or the other, some suspicion or doubt got into your mind, right? That suspicion and doubt that got into your mind, now that becomes a disaster. Doesn't it happen? Some doubt, some suspicion, some thought. It was just a thought. Then the thought became a fact. The fact became a conviction. Then after the conviction, now you want to respond. But from which point? It was a doubt. And you didn't take care of the doubt. Then it became a fact. When it became a fact, now you're convinced. And then the whole disaster, the whole fight carrying on. Right? Not realizing, but this is the point that this thing commences from. And nobody wants to nip it in the bud. Nobody wants to suppress it at the root. No, it can't be. Why? Because we are selective, because I don't want to give up this thing. So when I don't want to give up this thing, so I don't want to say that this is the problem. I don't want to say it. Because now if I say it, then that means I'll have to abandon this thing yet. But now this is a time, this is a Mubarak time, you see, coming into the Ramadan. And Allah Pak wants to wash you out and wash you out clean. But when He wants to wash you out clean, then you need to be clean. But we're having a selective approach with Allah Pak, I'll leave out this thing here, but this thing I need it, you know, Allah Pak, you know how the world operates. So Allah Pak, you must be just considerate with me. So you don't want to be totally clean with Allah Ta'ala, you want to be selective, but on Allah Ta'ala's side, you want Him to be totally, absolutely good to you. But on your side, you want to be selective. Leave out something and do something. أَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. This was the Jewish lobby, it was a Jewish style. Some things what was easy and manageable, they took it. Some things they didn't find it too easy, they just left it out. See, the first surah, the first verses to be revealed, right? اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. But I was thinking about this verse. كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى إن إلى ربك الرجعى. Man transgresses, right? And we see the transgression. Transgression means you're going beyond the bounds. It's a barrier, and you went beyond the barrier, right? That means transgression. So that means Allah has set up some barriers, and those barriers have to be respected, right? Like how the road has got a barrier. So you are traveling on the right, this is the lane you're going to take. Now if you cross over the barrier, is it a small crime or is it a major crime? Ask yourself. It's a major crime. So Allah Pak also has set up some barrier, and the barrier must be respected. Right? So insan has transgressed. But what is the cause? You know, you said cause and disaster. Cause and disaster. So the cause of it, what is the cause? Ar-ra'ahu istaghna. When he considers himself to be too big. Right? Independent, too big, I don't need this one here, I don't need to be bothered about that person. When he thinks himself like that, Ar-ra'ahu istaghna. See, look at it. When you're getting a child coming to a madrasa, the first few years, 5 years, 6 years or so, he'll be so humble, be easy, talk to him, listen, he'll accept his mistake, he want to correct himself, etc. Now that's the beginning, right? But now, he's got about 10 years after that, 10, 12 years, a little bit of independent work. He's not now connected to his ustads like he used to be connected. Before he was connected, so he felt there was an obligation, I'm obligated to my elders. So I need to conform, right? But then, the day he's got the license to his freedom, now he says, why must I listen to them? They are rijal, we are rijal, they are men, we are men. So do I need to keep myself under them at any time now? See, so that point, see the Quran says what he's saying. He's talking about ilm. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Now after that ilm, Allah, what he says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. So thinking, you know, after that ilm, Allah Ta'ala talks about this. So that means that's the reason for your being deprived of the deeper levels of ilm. What? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. So there must be a connection, there must be a rabt. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Straight away after that he says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. So why is he saying that? He's telling you this because he wants you to leave the passages of ilm open, that your passages of ilm, your passages of recognition of Allah Ta'ala, as you recognize Him, you become more conscious, you become more afraid, right? You begin to understand His power, His might, His glory, His magnificence. You understand that. But now, that happens, when it happens, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَتْقَى, when you are concerned. أَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى and أَمَّا مَنْ بَخِيلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. Same word again, it's here. أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. He is disconcerted, not concerned. Before he was mindful, look at that child when he came. He was so mindful, so respectful, so humble. He was just going with the flow. And everybody liked him and he loved people. People loved him and he loved. And that communication was open, so the flow was there. It was just flowing. Understanding was there. He was just growing and progressing. Now when he comes to a halt, and there's no progress. Now, sometimes that istighna is so great that he doesn't realize that he's making a mistake. He forgets that he's in an error. He's erred in the error. He's in error and he's erred over that error. That means it's compounded mistake. Mistake and the mistake is compounded. That he's forgotten that he's forgotten. He's forgotten that he's forgotten. So it's such a deep level of khatam, you know, khatam Allahu ala qulubihim. Allah Ta'ala sealed it up. When he sealed it up, so you can't even see the seal. So the khatam and the seal and the blockade is so much that he can't even recognize the seal. Now he's carrying on, he sees everything carrying on, I'm doing this, I'm doing that khidmat, everything carrying on normal. But he doesn't realize that there is a khatam, and the khatam is because of the istighna. And because of the istighna, now he can't move. Now he doesn't realize that he can't move. Because that he's forgotten, and he's forgotten so much. لَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ. You forget, you become unconscious, unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. Then you forget your own good. What's your own good? What's your own benefit? What's your own future? You forget about it. So that khatam, that seal is so thick that you can't even understand, you can't recognize that I'm sealed up. You can't even understand. It's gone so deep. So while we're approaching Ramadan, all these things here, these, one is the disaster, one is the cause. So when you understood the cause, now it is to show your loyalty to Allah Ta'ala, that this is the cause, this is the disaster. This is the cause, this is the disaster. Now, how loyal am I to this path? I want to reach up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is someone that is guiding, and the guide is telling you, but this is a problem. So you say, no, don't worry about the guide, you don't worry about it, you just do your work, carry on. So now the guide, will he feel comfortable? Think to yourself. He's telling you, but this is the problem. And you say, no, don't worry about it, just you carry on your work, I'll do my work. So, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْهَى. See, insan, he crosses the barrier. Right. So, when he crosses the barrier, when الرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى, when he counts himself, when he sees himself to be self-sufficient, he feels himself that I don't need anybody, I don't need to refer, I don't need to ask, I'm self-sufficient. I'm self-supportive. Why? I'm so great now, so why do I need to refer? Why must I go and ask? I'm so self-sufficient. But now again the Quran Sharif says, but what is the ilaj after that? So I'm looking at the verses, right? عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. But what is the ilaj? Because when the Quran Sharif will show you a problem, then somewhere near there will be the ilaj as well. There will be the cure as well. If Allah shows you a problem, He'll show you and indicate, He will guide you to the cure as well. But you'll just have to look at it. You look at it, you'll find the cause so clear. So I showed you the cause. Now the ilaj, the cure is, إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رُجْعَىٰ. By the moment you forgot that you're going to be going back to Allah Ta'ala, that's the root of the problem. أَكْثِرُ هَازِمَ اللَّذَّاتِ. See that, أَكْثِرُ هَازِمَ اللَّذَّاتِ. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. See that. See, this whole road to the hereafter starts from death. So you think of the hereafter, but you start off, you understand that this is such a thing, such a reality. It's so real. Nobody can debate the reality of death. Nobody can debate, nobody can doubt, nobody can say, no, there's some reservation about it. Nobody can say it. So the ilaj, the cure is inna ila rabbika ruj'a. You see that? Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. That's the cure. So we're coming back to the surah. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. This two surahs are revealed, right? So man has two problems, right? Sometimes it's a physical material problem, and sometimes it's a spiritual imani problem. So the physical material problem, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, imani spiritual problem, qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Right? That is why in qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, you only used one exclusive quality of Allah Ta'ala. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq ila akhirih. Right? But when you spoke about the imani and spiritual problem, then you used three sifat of Allah Ta'ala. Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. Can you see that? So much of emphasis. Because here, if it is a material problem, it's a physical problem, the most that can happen is you can die. Anything can happen beyond that. It's a physical problem, it's a material problem. One was after you, or he's on your case, etc. The most he can do to you is, he can kill you. Can do anything beyond. Right? That is, if it's a physical, material problem. But if it's a spiritual and an imani problem, then if you defeated there, then you're going straight to Jahannam. So, this, you have to be so much on your guard about this. Spiritual and imani problem. A physical, material problem, you lost it, you can get it, right? And even if you lost it forever, but it's just a temporal thing, a small, fleeting thing, you lost one of those things. As long as you didn't lose the hereafter. You lost this, but you didn't lose the hereafter. So, you're starting off with this whole surah, you see. Rabbil Falaq. The Rabb of the daybreak, right? Now, the whole surah starts off, taking refuge with the Rabb of the daybreak. But why does Allah Ta'ala speak about the daybreak? Now, there can be multiple reasons. I was thinking about what could be the reason, right? One reason is, you see, your dua is effective proportionate to your conviction of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. You have the yaqeen, the greatness, the magnanimity, the azmat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So proportionate to your conviction of how great, magnanimous, powerful, mighty Allah Ta'ala is, that's how much effective your dua is going to be. But you're making dua and you don't have that level of magnanimity, majesty, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so your dua is not going to have that effect. So when he said Rabbil Falaq, the Rabb of the daybreak. Now imagine daybreak, you're talking of, you know, when Seri time ends, right? So imagine that time, it was, the whole horizon was covered in darkness. And then within minutes then you find the whole horizon is covered with light. So a whole transformation, right? From what it was and what it is. So Allah Ta'ala can change your halat, your whole condition can change. You were in the darkness, physically, materially, you were in problems, right? You were in total darkness, you were in the quagmire, you were suffering, and Allah Ta'ala can reverse the whole thing. See, look at His magnanimity, His greatness, and there was total darkness. And within minutes, He brought the whole universe into total light. Can you understand? Do you recognize His greatness, His power? So, when you are reading these words here, it mustn't be just a repetition of words. And read the words, but with that conviction, Rabbil Falaq, He's so great. He brought a total transformation. At night now, when it's middle of the night, can you find any country that is like looking like daylight? Can't find it. Maybe one property, one mall or something, they cover it up in lights, that's all. That's the most they can do. But that too, they can't imitate the real light, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can't. So, with that magnanimity of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, Rabbil Falaq, right? And normally, when this secret arts are practiced, you know, secret arts, jadu, etc., they call it secret arts. When they are practiced, they are practiced in darkness. They don't practice it in the light. They practice it in darkness. So therefore, Rabbil Falaq, now, you understand that the one that brought about total light, He can remove you from all this darkness of jadu, nazar, and all the jinnat, etc., all those problems here. He can dispel and expel all these things. Rabbil Falaq min sharri ma khalaq. See that? So you're asking refuge with Allah Ta'ala. And then you're asking refuge, as I said, the cause and the disaster. Not only the disaster, and not only the cause, but you're asking Allah Ta'ala's refuge and protection from the cause and the disaster. The cause and the disaster. Not just one-sided, not just selective. Protect me and protect me complete. So this two surahs, is what it's teaching you, is you have to go to Jannah, inshallah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. But en route, there's going to be a lot of problems, right? And in all that, you have to be begging Allah Ta'ala's protection all the time. Your trust, your reliance, your tawakkul, your bharosa must be in Allah Ta'ala entirely. That's what he's teaching. I read that surah. I'm thinking, what is this surah? What is the theme? So I said, the theme is bharosa, khuda ke upar bharosa rakhna. Then I opened up Bayanul Quran. So he said the same thing there. Taake tumhe mukammal tor par bharosa, Allah Ta'ala ke upar bharosa ho jaye. So first I thought about it. It might say, let me think about it. Then I would like to see that we're conforming with our Buzurgan Adeem, Mohammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah. And the exact words, taake mukammal tor par bharosa ho jaye. You have total trust in Allah Ta'ala that He is the doer, He'll make it happen. Rabbil Falaq min sharri ma khalaq, from all His creation. A lot of creation there can be in this world, the next world, all types of creation, right? So you're asking Allah Ta'ala's protection from all creation, the evil of all creation. This life and the next life, that's also His creation, and His creation. All His Jannah is His creation, Jannat is His creation. So from all the evil of creation, you are asking Allah Ta'ala's refuge. Min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab, when the darkness spreads. Min sharri nafasati fil uqad, right? And those that blow into the knots, making jadu and the secret arts, etc. Min sharri hasidin idha hasad, and from the jealous person, you're asking Allah Ta'ala's protection from his jealousy as well. Because the first crime committed in the heaven was jealousy. First crime committed on earth was jealousy as well. So you're asking Allah Ta'ala's protection from that. And these things will be in us. You will not say that I don't have these things. You look within yourself, oh, he's getting favored more. Why I'm getting left out? he is being seen better, why am I not being seen? For those thoughts of jealousy will be in the heart, and those need to be ironed out. See, this jealousy brought shaitan to what he is, made the Jews mal'oon. But what was the reason? Same thing, hasad. Hasadam min indi anfusim. And hasad, why is this person posted to this position? Why has he got recognition? Why has he got the respect? Why don't I have it? Now, we're coming to Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. I showed you Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, right? Now, the other aspect in these two surahs you need to understand is you'll have obstructions of different categories, right? One is an obstruction that is visible, you can see the thing, right? And one is you can't see. So, there's a different plan for that enemy and that obstruction that is visible, right? If it comes to an ultimate, you know, to a head-on, then you will defend yourself, whichever way you need to defend yourself. Like, now you're getting a problem, for example, now, in Russia, right? Right, there's a war carrying on. So, when it reaches, when the problem comes to the ultimate, right, then they have to fight. We'll call it jihad, call it war, whatever, but you have to fight. That is one way of defending yourself. Your property, your person is being attacked, then you have got the right to defend yourself, right? So, right. Then it's a problem that is of an inferior level, right? It's of an inferior level, then itfa'a billati hiya ahsan. Then you will repulse that obstruction or that evil or the person, but with beauty. So he's looking at you impolitely with aggression, and he's rude towards you, but you're going to reply to his aggression with sweetness, softness and kindness. He's going to be doing this, right? It's about wealth, etc., and someone is doing you down, etc. Then you have got the right to demand, but you also have got the right to forgive and waive your right. In kana dhu usratin fa naziratun. Like you got the right to demand, you got the right also to forgive, overlook, wal ya'fu wal yasmahu, forgive and overlook, right? So this is the second line. One is you defend yourself, you defend your property, etc. And the other is that you forgive, right? You forgive and overlook. Al ya'fu wal yasmahu. Idfa' billati ahsan wa la tastawi al hasanatu wa la sayya. Qul rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazat ash-shayatin wa a'udhu bika rabbi an yahdurun. So all these ayats will show you that that's also a line of defense. That you be good to the person that is aggressive, you be good to the person that is impolite, he's rude, he's not kind, but you be good towards him, right? So that's the second line of defense. But this is for the enemy or the obstruction that is visible, you can see it. But there is an enemy that you can't see. It's shaitan, you can't see, right? Here, in this first line of problem, right, even if you defeated, you died as a shaheed, came to rob you, and you were defending, and you died in the process, then you are shaheed, right? In the second line, right, when it's a spiritual problem, it's an imani problem, it's a shaitan is the one that is inciting this. If you defeated there, then is the problem. Shaitan defeated you, so you got suppressed, you were defeated by shaitan. So, he overwhelmed you in your beliefs, created doubts and suspicions, he overwhelmed you. Then you are looking for serious problems. So one is the problem with people, etc. And one is the problem with that enemy that you can't see. And in this day and time, this is the greatest problem. It's an enemy that you cannot see, right? So the shaitan that you cannot see, shaitanul ins you can see, shaitanul jinn you can't see, right? But the shaitan in mankind, all he needs to do is just to whisper. You must be so. You just need to whisper. Tell you something discreetly. Forget. And all the relationship has all collapsed. Everything is broken down. Someone tells you, whisper something in your ears. You had a relationship. You had a muhabbat and understanding. And because of that whisper that he instilled into your ear, your whole mind got upside down. And now you became a victim. Now how much doesn't this happen in the WhatsApp and all these groups, etc.? How much it doesn't happen? Some false rumor, some type of allegation, some news that is carrying out, right? You listening, you're part of the group, you heard that thing, you believed it, or you believe it, or you give it a place in your mind and your heart, and what happened after that? Just imagine for a moment, you've got a good understanding with your wife, very good understanding, 30, 40 years, and one person has to come and put a whisper in your ear, hey, just look after your wife, there's something happening. Now if you're weak mind, what happens? What happens? Even if you're strong minded, but you are used to all these type of gadgets, these gadgets created a suspicious mind. When you create a suspicious mind, someone will just trigger that suspicion, what happens? Finished now, that 30, 40 years of a good healthy relationship is dead. See, so this second type of enemy, spiritual, it's by an enemy that you can't see. And when you can't see the thing, you need to be so much more on your guard. So much more on your guard. Therefore, the three sifat of Allah Ta'ala have been used. See? So sometimes it is a suspicion, something is thrown into your ears, something you read up, something you watch, right? Something you hear over the radio. All these things are creating suspicions in your mind. When they create suspicions in your mind, now there was a relationship of muhabbat, and the whole thing has capsized, the whole thing has somersaulted. You see, Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. So this is so much more important, right? And then, when Allah starts this whole surah, He starts with Rabbin Nas, right? So why He starts off with Rabbin Nas? Some points I bring from Al-Mustafa Rahmatullahi.